Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/android. And by IT Pro TV, an easy, entertaining approach to online IT training. Visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30 for a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account. And by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get 3 meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 308, recorded on Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah, how's it going, y'all?
Good.
Good.
Going well. Good. Another day in the Android mines.
Another day in paradise. Green paradise.
Oh, think twice.
I'm super, super stoked today, you guys, because Kevin Berry is going to join us here today. He's on the line for the show today. He is the developer of a launcher you've probably installed before on your Android device. Most people on this show, I imagine, have played around with Nova Launcher. Kevin is the mind behind it. How's it going, Kevin?
Good. Glad to be here.
It's great to finally get you on here. I think we ran into each other last year at Google I.O. And then I was like, well, duh, this has to happen. And I put you on my list. And then I promptly got super busy with life and everything. So I'm really happy that we can finally get you on here because we've got a lot to talk about. Before we kind of get into the show and everything, just real quick, how are things going with Nova? Nova's been around for quite a while. So how are things going?
So Nova's been around for over 5 years. You don't have any devices. It's a lot of fun to work on. Like the nature of an app like Nova is that it keeps evolving with Android. There's always new things to be working on, and there's like plenty of like the features I want to get done, but also plenty of the features that Android is introducing that's up to me to keep up with or to re-implement or something.
I have to imagine that's a big challenge. We're going to be discussing all of these challenges with you, of course, about what it's like to both create a launcher. We've had Chris Lacey on a number of times in the past. So we have a perspective on creating a launcher, but kind of the longevity of Nova and the place that it's held in the app stores. I mean, the install numbers are intense. So we'll talk to you all about that. We're also going to be discussing news. Well, news, rumor, whatever you want to call it, on the next Pixel phone. It's kind of, I will admit it, it was a little light on news this week, so we had to do some scrounging.
This year is just kind of light on Android news, outside, in a sense.
We're in the roller coaster valley after Mobile World Congress. We just got a ton of stuff that, you know,
last week's show was so jam-packed.
It's just like, give us a breather. Okay, let's talk about some rumors and some launchers.
Well, normally at this point, Samsung would have already had its announcement. And so we would have that to kind of surf on a little bit.
I would have big bags under
bit.
My eyes. Yeah. I'd be really.
So we're realizing how much of a hole that leaves when that isn't happening for another month.
It happens at the end of this month. And
potentially, eventually, your pocketbook. We're going to talk about how our smartphones might not be as secure as we think. Oh, man, there's some big security news today. The enterprise pivot for Hangouts and, you know, a whole lot more. But let's start. Obviously, we have Kevin here. And, Kevin, you're joining for the whole show. But we thought we'd kind of start off just chatting with you about what it's like to be a developer of one of the most successful launchers on Android. First of all, one of the big questions that I have about your development and your time with Nova is that, like you said just a few minutes ago, Android is always changing. Nova as a launcher is really, like it seems to be one of the go-to sources for taking what Google has done with their launchers and then adding a layer of customization on top of it. So you take a lot of the, you know, similar features that Google has so that you can replicate that look and feel of, let's say, the Pixel launcher or the Google Now launcher, but then add all of the customizability of Nova on top of that. And I have to imagine that's a whole lot of work for you. How big is your team, or is it just you, and how do you even keep up with that type of work?
It's a small team. So it's I started Nova and I started it by myself, but now I have a few others that help. So if you email support at TeslaCoilSW, that's not going to me anymore. Now that goes to Cliff. He's great. Like he understands the users well, so he can interact with them, communicate with them, and he has a ton of fun doing it. And then he gives me the information about, hey, these are bugs, these are features people are really asking for, and he can get me that information so I can quickly fix these things.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Kevin, but for a while that email address went to you.
Yeah, and I tried. Jeez. I really wanted to get back to everyone, but it was it's really hard to hire someone for support. Like that's like the hardest person to hire, I feel, because like for graphic design, like I'm a developer, I'm not an artist by any means. If I try to draw something in Photoshop or whatever, it takes me forever and it looks bad. Whereas like, so Liam, my designer, he in minutes can do something and it looks beautiful, and then I can give him minor feedback and he can come up with, you know, several new designs. So it's just easy to see how much better he is at it than me. Whereas the emails, Cliff is much better at it than I am, but I know everything about Nova. If a user emails about, you know, some obscure case or whatever, I'm not going to be wrong if I answer them. The problem is that I couldn't answer everyone. Like, I'd get so many emails, many of them just kind of like, they just need someone to hold their hand, walk through the settings or something, and I wouldn't have the time to do that. And I'd get tired of it. Like, I'd want to work on something, I'd get these emails coming in, so I couldn't do a good job answering them. So then I got help.
Well, yeah, I mean, sorry.
I was going to say, good for you, because that's sometimes the hardest thing when you start your own business. I know I've been in that position where you want to do as much as you can and you want to have control, and being smart enough to realize, okay, it's time to delegate this so I can focus is an important step in a business.
Yeah, and it's been valuable. So actually, the way I got started having someone handle support, it was someone else, Soleil. And so she was working for another, the HD Widgets. She did support for them. And they were kind of changing how they were doing things. And she'd have extra hours. And they knew I needed someone. And it was like I had a family trip to China coming up. So I'd be with bad internet and not a lot of time. So it was like the perfect setup to kind of test the waters, having someone else do it. And she was already experienced with emailing personalization users on like HD widget users often overlap with Nova users. So it was an easy way to get started.
What I have to ask about support is, I mean, when you're talking, okay, so you're talking about the free version of Nova Launcher, Play Store has it reported anywhere between, just 10 to 50 million installs. And then Nova Launcher Prime, you're talking between 1 and 5 million. Prime, of course, is the product that you charge for. So that's your bread and butter as far as making money, which bravo, because that's awesome. you obviously have an incredible business, and obviously you're incredibly talented with this stuff. But what is the volume of support for that many installs? I have to imagine it's too difficult to manage. I can't even believe that you did that yourself without help.
I couldn't get back to all the emails when I did
it myself.
Well, when Cliff started, like he was really eager for the job, but he just thought I was exaggerating how many hours. Like he thought this is going to be a nice like side gig, but it's not going to take that much time. And then he saw the inbox and he's just like, the emails just keep coming. Like, he doesn't work 40 hours a week, but he almost does. Or if we have a sale, he will. So yeah, there's plenty of volume for those. I mean, he also handles like the social media, but most of it's the emails, and they just keep coming in. And it's also, when I handled the emails, I would be very, I'd try to reply very clearly, but just a very short answer. I didn't want to be overly talkative, because that encouraged users to talk more. And that's great. Like Cliff does that, and he can engage with the users, and we learn a lot about them that way. We get more details for bug reports that way. The users are happier. But when I was doing it, I couldn't encourage more emails because I didn't have the time to handle them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we get a lot of emails.
That is insane.
So I am really curious. So for instance, today I was reading the rumor mill. There's some rumors about what's coming out to Android O. Does that make your heart palpitate? Do you start to go, oh God, there's a bunch of new features, a bunch of stuff being rumored about. Here we go again. I need to like figure this out. I need to add this to my app. Like, what's your sort of thought process with every new version of Android that introduces new UI features?
Some of the changes are, they're great. Like, they're just really easy changes. Like, if they change what the search bar looks like, or if they change, you know, how folders look, it's really easy for me to add that as an option. So I don't replace the default for users. They already have a setup they like, but if they want to try something new, it's there. So it's a quick, like, those quick visual changes. Nova gets really good press when it adds those. Users are very excited, and it's relatively easy for me to add. But other stuff can be a lot harder, like app shortcuts. I'm still working on, I want to do a bit more there, and I still want to explore that. And that's already getting to be a year old now. So it's a lot of work just to keep up with what Android's doing. And then I also want to do my own features, and it's hard to find time for those if I'm always chasing after what Android has just sprung on me.
Do you ever have just like, I know my husband, who's a developer, does this. Sometimes he'll just spend like nights coding and getting like into the zone just to like be able to add new things. Like, does that, do you ever find yourself just sort of, you know, going, all right, I just need some alone time to add some stuff to my app?
Yeah, we have two kids, so the house can be kind of chaotic. And I work from home, so it's I do get a lot of work done. Like, now the kids are asleep, so from now until like 2 a.m., I'll probably be working. I mean, after this call, I'll probably be working on stuff. So that's kind of how I do it, is that the nighttime is quiet, so I can get that kind of work done. During the day, I work as well, but then I have a break midday I have a break in the middle for dinner and time with kids and everything.
I feel that.
So yeah, my work schedule moves around quite a bit.
So I'm curious, you know, in terms of, you know, being, you know, kind of a self, you know, you created this app from scratch. You, like you said to yourself, you know, every, you know, aspect of the launcher. Launchers are incredibly complicated pieces of software. So how do you approach that when you're really, you know, you're making an app that is, I imagine, working towards a vision that you have in your head, but you're also competing with the other launchers that are out there, as well as with Google and their own, like the anointed, you know, Pixel launcher or Google launcher or whatever, you know, the launcher of the day is. How do you, you know, is it easy to get distracted by what other launchers are doing, or do you stay focused with your vision for Nova?
I feel it's important for me to keep up with what they're doing, especially what the so-called stock launcher is. It's hard for Nova not to have a feature or a visual interface that the stock launcher has, because we just get so many requests for it. And it's seen, I mean, even in a way, it's harder for Nova's competitors than Nova, because like Nova's seen as the default. So any third-party launcher can have its own unique features, but if it doesn't have a feature Nova has, it's missing that. It's not like Nova has this unique feature they don't have. It's more like this launcher is lacking because it doesn't have this feature that Nova has, and everything should have that. So I have that advantage that it's more, other launchers are seen as they have their unique features. It's not expected Nova has them as well, unless it's the Pixel launcher, the stock launcher, whatever. It's really hard. Like, I frequently, my cat's getting in the way.
Don't apologize.
It's part of the team, right? Yes. The cat handles QA, right?
I frequently end up pushing the features that I've been planning for a while. I want to do this thing, but it has to be keep being pushed back because I need to implement things that Google's just done. And the features that I have in mind, like, users might be requesting them, but it's more like I have my own take on it, and I want to do something new. So users aren't demanding that because they don't even know about it, whereas they know what Pixel Launcher has, and so they demand that.
Yeah, it's kind of a healthy combination of what people expect based on what they know about and kind of the unique kind of flavor that you can introduce into it that's unique to Nova and makes that special. How do you keep incentivized to keep this update schedule so rigorously? Because, I mean, you know, we hear often, and actually Chris Lacy is a prime example of this, right? You spend all this time developing a product, and then it's hard to kind of justify continuing to pour effort into that particular product if the people that are using it have already paid you and there's no like recurring payment around that. So of course, Chris, you know, as we all know, he works on a new version of Action Launcher and releases that. And if you want to buy into the new version, you know, that kind of keeps him employed, essentially, you know, creating a great launcher. How do you keep incentivized? Because you don't do that. You really stick to the longstanding, you know, five years now Nova launcher that's been in the Play Store all along. How do you keep that up?
Users keep buying. That there's theoretically, it's not sustainable to have a one-time purchase app that you offer support and updates forever. But there's like the last statistic is a couple years old, but it's like 1.5 million new Android activations a day. You just need a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that to buy your app, and you're good. So there's so many new Android users, and there's so many existing Android users who haven't yet bought Nova. So people keep buying. And then the existing users, they're a huge asset that, like, Nova has great reviews on the Play Store in part because, you know, when I update people leave a new 5-star review or they hadn't reviewed it before. Like, oh, I should finally review this app. I've been using it for years. And anytime launchers are talked about, Chris charging for the Action Launcher update, that gets brought up and people say, but Nova didn't charge. And that's it's nice to be seen in that positive light there, that users are happy. They can keep using it. Mm-hmm. So it's, but I'm in a fortunate position that like Nova can do that. It's the market's very lopsided. Not all apps can be in that position where they can get new users that, you know, enough to sustain development. So, yes. But this works for me and I'm thankful, and it's, you know, it's an easy decision to just keep doing it because it works and I like it. Users are happy. I'm happy.
Yeah, it's like your legacy has sold new users on the idea of buying into it because of how it's performed over, you know, the last 5 years and how people are incredibly happy. You always see Nova on the lists of, mm-hmm. you know, what launcher should I get? Mm-hmm. Nova's always near the top, if not at the top. What's been the biggest challenge for you as in your time developing a launcher for Android over the years? I mean, Android's changed a lot over the past 5 years. What if you had to look back and pick out just an incredible challenge that you had to overcome in this process? What was it?
Oh, I'll pick two.
Okay, that works too.
So one would be material design. So that was like if there was a time to dethrone Nova, that was the chance. And I'm really proud with how Nova embraced material design. And a lot of that was Liam's graphic mm-hmm. design. But it was also the attitude I took with, I removed some features that it's for that level of an update. It's necessary. Like you're rewriting so much stuff. It takes so much longer to keep everything intact. And I had, you know, some features that I added, like, you know, Nova pre 1.0, and they were rarely used. They're poorly implemented. It made sense to cut them at that point. But mostly I kept the features and users, they weren't significantly like interrupted by this update. It wasn't like this drastic change that interfered with how they use the app. And then the design, it fully embraced material. It wasn't a quick reskin. It was, you know, we had the animations that looked right. We had the setting screen that wasn't just theme different. You interacted with it different to match material. So that update was hard to do right. And we had a ton of betas, like it might've been 30 betas for that or maybe more. But I was waiting until it was right before releasing stable.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and when you are doing a beta, I mean, so much of your user base are people who are open and willing and happy to participate in a beta and understand why it would take 30 tries to get to the final product.
Yeah, my beta users are great. Yeah. And like there's a ton of them. Like, I don't know if I can pull it up. I have 375,000 beta testers. Nice. And so that's it's ridiculous. But it's, wow. We get such good feedback. Like in a way it's like, you know, some people do stage rollouts to carefully handle this. When we release just to beta, that's pretty much a release and we get press coverage. Like a beta is a big, releasing a new feature beta is a big deal. But we get the bug reports right away because they're also like the beta users, they're passionate users. They have you know, they've tweaked all their settings, they're using a ton of widgets, like they're gonna find the bugs. And so then by the time we get to stable, it is pretty stable because we had such good coverage with the beta.
Right.
So the second one,
go.
Yeah. So the second big challenge is dealing with businesses that, like, I'm very much a developer. I'm not a business person. And so, like, a couple years ago, I had a company that was interested in acquiring Nova. And so I didn't really think it would work, but I wanted to talk it out. I wanted to just explore the possibility. And it was really intimidating to, like, have that conversation because it's because I couldn't necessarily like keep up on the business side that I don't, you know, he's saying things to you as a salesman, like he was really good and made me think, oh yeah, this could be great. And then a thing later, I'm like, I don't understand this. What does this mean? Like, what does this offer mean? So that was just kind of, and I'm glad I didn't end up doing that. But it was quite challenging because that's an area that I don't have experience in.
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to Jason's earlier question, which is how big is your team? So you got a support person, you're working with Liam on design. So is that just the three of you, or do you have any more than that, or how?
So I also have a developer, but it's he's in school full time, and so he has a couple hours he can give me sometimes. And so it's been a good experiment for both of us that like he's been learning more Android development, learning more of the, you know, Nova's an interesting project to work on. So he's going to do that. And then I've gotten to experience what it's like to manage another developer. And like, you know, even just like, you know, of course we both used Git before, but figuring out how we're actually going to have a workflow with, you know, doing code reviews and everything. It was something that I hadn't thought about when I was just working alone. So that's been a good experiment. And then it makes me think about doing more. But yeah, I don't have like a business partner.
So you don't have a business, you don't have marketing, you don't have like, you're operating completely. That's amazing. I'm very impressed by that. But yeah, so my other question was, is what is your relationship like with Google? Because I would imagine I would imagine that, you know, like you said, the biggest challenge being material design that was driven by Google. And I know from my experience with working on apps and things like that, that Google has expectations on that side. But at the same time, you're a top earner in the Play Store. So I imagine there's another group of people at Google who probably love you, you know, like, so what are those relationships like?
So the Play Store, I have a really good contact there that like, The way the Play Store handles things is weird. So like developers have their BD business development contact, but then they used to do it like regionally. So initially I had a contact, then they switched how they did it. So like if I lived in New York, I'd have a contact, or if I lived in California, I'd have one, or international. But if I was in Chicago, there was no one for me. So then I didn't have anyone for a while. Then finally I got one who was based out of New York, but he was handling Chicago. And then a few weeks later, he was switching and I had this new person, but this new person has been like that. That's a couple of years ago. He's been great. So I have like, he'll get me in touch with sometimes, you know, they're exploring something new. They want me to like, you know, sign an NDA and, you know, give them feedback on this thing. So that's nice to be a part of that. Sometimes, you know, promotions with the Play Store, like Nova's been on sale, you know, as part of a Google promotion a couple of times. So that's through him. I really like having him as a contact there. For like Android itself, like I can, like there's the Android developer advocates and stuff. So I can be in touch with some of those, but it's not like I have, a close relationship with any of them really. Google Now is an area that I have a couple of contacts there, and I pester them because I really want to get Google Now API access.
There's a lot of chatter going on right now in our chat room about this particular feature. I want you to know the entire time you've been talking. I'm sorry. It's the truth. And I was going to ask you anyway, but since you brought it up, please.
Yeah, I consider not bringing it up because it's a hard topic. But yeah, so it'd be really great to have Google Now integration in Nova. And there's different ways to do that. Some launchers have like, you know, hacks together and they just kind of show a sliding animation. You kind of feel like you have the integration, but it's not there and it feels off when you really play with it. Cliff just messaged me saying, yes, Google Now discussion.
Thank you, Cliff.
Yeah.
And Like Action Launcher, it has like if you install it as a system app or using Root, then you can have the integration. But if you don't, you can't. And like that has a that's a whole can of worms because then you're telling users you get more functionality if you install as a system app. And they're like, okay, install as a system app. And then now Android Pay doesn't work. What do I do? And you're like, oh, I can't help you. It's not going to work. Okay, I uninstalled it. It still doesn't work. You know, you don't want to be in that position to be, you know, teaching people how to root or unroot or whatever.
No, and you would end up like probably maybe even losing some people because I'd imagine like Nova for maybe an Android noob is not as scary with,
right.
without having to tap into anything. They could just install it and start customizing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so it's hard to go that way. Plus, Google might not like it if you're... They've intentionally protected this API so it's only for system apps. I have those contacts at Google. I'm pestering them. So I'd rather not get on their bad side. So I'm hoping we get access. The Google people I've been in contact with, they've kind of showed, we're interested in this. We're still, you know, we're still working with OEMs. We're still exploring this other stuff. We're, you know, working on stabilizing it. So hopefully it'll get there that they grant me access, and they haven't said no, which is good, but I don't know how long it's going to take.
And I feel like the good thing from all of this is at least you're not alone. You're not the only developer that is dealing with this. And I mean, I don't even have this functionality on any of the third party launchers I may get with like another phone. So it's not just you.
Yeah.
There's some solace in that. So before we move on, do you have any news you want to share, or
what are you working
teasing
on
or you that know what you're working on?
I'm working on Nova 5.1, but I can't say too much. I really don't like giving teasers because it's so easy for them to get misinterpreted.
Have you met the Android industry?
So instead of giving you news, I'll tell you about a really, really old feature in Widget Locker, my older app. So Widget Locker, it lets you customize the lock screen. You could have different sliders, like iPhone style or HTC Sense style or whatever. And the users really wanted to theme these. And they wanted it so much that they would take the APK and they'd replace the image assets with their own. And Widget Locker was a paid app. So they'd post on XDA, they wouldn't share the APK because it'd be piracy. So instead they'd post instructions so you too can take apart the APK, replace the PNGs with the ones they provide, install it to your phone. And so this was a big mess. If I release an update, you can't install an update over your hacked version of Widget Locker. But I wanted to respect this community because like they're building these themes. They're making Widget Locker more valuable. And so I just really had to have proper theme support in Widget Locker. So I did announce I'm going to add, and I think I put it in the Play Store description. And then I'm just flooded with when can I have a beta version? I'm happy to test. You know, when's it coming? And it took a long time because I wanted to do it right. So that kind of made me realize I should just not have said anything, like just, you know, silently be working on it. And then when it's released, people are happy rather than people are constantly waiting. Nova 5.1 I'm excited about, but I can't say anything.
There is something incredibly valuable about holding something close to your chest and then unleashing it and it being available and released at one moment and being discovered at one moment. I don't know what is the better approach. I would probably trust your instinct as far as that's concerned. People, when it's a true surprise and they're great, awesome new features that no one expected, that's a great discovery for hardcore users. So,
and it happens very rarely now.
What's that?
It happens very rarely.
I know. We know too much these days.
We need some fun.
We know too much. Well, that is awesome. Kevin, really appreciate you kind of diving into the nuts and bolts.
Thank you for sharing.
All that information and for developing Nova.
Yeah, and it's so fun to hear about the community too.
Yeah.
Even though maybe it doesn't necessarily benefit you, at least with the sense of people like taking the APK. But it just shows like when an Android user really wants something, damn it, they're going to find a way.
they're going to find a way.
Well, yeah, and like that's... it was really a pain when everyone's hacking the Widget Locker APK, but like they were respectful. They weren't releasing the pirated versions, or at least not on XDA. And it showed how much they like the app that they're going to go through these steps for it. So it can be a pain, but that's really valuable, to have that community like your app and talk about your app.
Yeah, for sure.
And
And I think before we move on, I just think the biggest thing, at least that I, you know, is just congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Talk about success, five years in running.
Do you know how many people wish they could be? Not even Aloe is that popular. And it's like by Google.
Exactly. Like, talk about like Android success story. Like, you know, you're a great developer. You made a great product and you built a business around it and it's sustainable and it's one of the top ones in the Google Play Store. Like, you are the, like, the shining case story. Of what. Yeah, it's great. So, I mean, congratulations, man. I know that's no easy feat. So, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, let's take a quick break before we move on. We've got news and other things to talk about. Before we get there, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. That's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you're looking for a mortgage, you're thinking about buying a house, or even if you want to refinance your home, sometimes it's just easier to do it when you've got a company or a group that you can work with that can kind of hold your hand through the process, make it a little bit easier because there's a lot of speed bumps along the way. So you need someone that you can work with that you can trust, and Rocket Mortgage is going to have your best interest in mind. They're a company you can trust with this. With Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. So you won't have to waste time searching through stacks of paperwork and files and all that stuff. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information to get a mortgage approval in minutes. And you can kind of play around with the numbers and find the mortgage solution that's just right for you. You can adjust the rate, the length of your loan in real time, to just make sure that you get the mortgage solution that works. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. So skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. All right, Brian, we're not going to leave you in the dark here. You're going to get your chance to give us the news.
It might be a slow new week.
Oh,
hold on.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I just ate a bunch of pretzels.
The pretzel excuse. I've heard that one before.
All right, let me try that again. It might be a slow news week, but that won't stop us from launching into Android news.
Oh, no, it won't. Second time is a charm. Appreciate the redo.
Ah!
No. I'm just all over the place.
I spoke too soon. It's okay. You're forgiven.
No carrot.
I took a week off, and now I'm rusty. Oh, that's all it took.
That explains it. Or maybe WikiLeaks has found its way into your board up there. WikiLeaks dropped a trove of data and tools from the CIA's hacking unit today, and contained within some pretty stunning insights into what's possible when it comes to hacking our smartphones. 24 weaponized zero-day vulnerabilities were listed, and this is just the tip of the iceberg and all the stuff. They give access to data, camera, mic streams, all that stuff without the user knowing. With the device insecure at the OS level, that basically means that encrypted communication apps would still be vulnerable, not because apps like Signal or, you know, or WhatsApp or whatever that are encrypted are insecure themselves, but because based on what's listed about these tools, that would give access to the OS underneath, and in turn, you know, keylogging, capturing the desktop, all that kind of stuff is possible. So, and by the way, this isn't just an Android is insecure thing.
No, it's also iOS.
It's also iOS. There's things listed for pretty much every OS possible that you can think of. But I don't know, kind of spelling out what we have assumed, I think, at this point, of Snowden.
I do want to bring up a little post I saw on XDA developers today about the fact that the zero-day Android exploits are all dated. So they're all for phones that aren't really on the market, like they're not being updated anymore. So that's where sort of the vulnerability is basically people with outdated devices are the ones
more likely to be targeted.
But the good news for that is that maybe there aren't as many people on those devices because they're old.
Maybe.
But the counterpoint to that, and to play devil's advocate, is that that's just what was in this dump.
Right.
And God knows what they're doing with
the
current
WikiLeaks.
I mean, you know, like this is WikiLeaks dropping stuff that they got their hands on. I'm sure there's stuff that they either haven't released or isn't even they don't even have their hands on yet. I've got to believe that they've done this stuff at the Android 4.0 level. They're doing stuff at on every level because that's level. The whole point. That's the whole point of what they're doing, you know. Like that's, you know, it's and so I yes, you're right that this particular stuff, these zero day exploits, stuff like that, are dated. But I'm this is conjecture, but I've got to believe that they've got similar stuff going on in more recent stuff.
Yes,
so
the night before Google I/O, before the keynote, we'll find out all of the salacious secrets of Android.
Here's all of our nougat.
The night before
stuff.
A major event.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean. Really, we're just learning more about what we already kind of knew, right? And
is that no one is
safe from anything in this world anymore? And we should just throw out all technology. What does this mean? How do we feel about it? Kevin?
How do you feel?
How do you feel? Let's get your thoughts on this.
And now, you know, I use all Google services, everything's logged, and I have come to accept that. When yes. I was younger, like, so, you know, I used to use Game, later it was called Pigeon, but so it was like, you know, I want to message a client, and I would log all my chats. And then, you know, I got in some trouble, my parents saw the logs and whatever, and it was really uncomfortable. So then after that, like, then I wouldn't log. I had an encrypted partition on my computer. Like, I was, you know, super paranoid about not just my parents, but, like, in general. I didn't want anyone knowing anything about me.
I don't know. The parents is fair enough. I'm just going to say some experience. But go on.
So it's – you need a balance, though, that, like, how much you're willing to deal. Like, having the logs is very valuable. Like, it's nice to look back at something. But some of that stuff you – don't need logged, and it's just really uncomfortable if anyone sees it, even if it's not illegal or anything. Mm-hmm. So you need a balance. The problem is that, like, the default now is always, you know, everything's logged by default, and we don't on Hangouts, if you ever change the chat to off the record, like, people are like, oh, what are you going to tell me? Like, it feels like a big deal, even if you're just saying.
Yeah, that's really true. You know? Mm-hmm. It does. It's like, ooh, why are you in incognito mode on Chrome? Are you hiding something? It's like, yes, actually. None of your business.
Yeah, I don't think incognito, like, if I'm just searching for something stupid, then I'll just do incognito because I don't want to see, like, ads related to it.
Clown costumes. Right. I don't want people to know what I'm trying to do
on
the weekends.
Let's not talk about what we go to incognito for. Let's leave that aside. But no, but yeah, you're right. But you know, Kevin, you're right though. I mean, there's a certain we often talk about, like, security and things like that. And I'm always a big proponent of saying, well, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, then you really don't have anything to worry about, right? You know, like, I'm not doing anything illegal, so, like, big deal. But I get the understanding that there are people who want to keep that stuff private. But what gets me about this stuff from WikiLeaks is the acknowledgement and the admission or whatever the association that the CIA is using the mic and the camera for, you know, have access to that, you know, whether that's being logged or being turned on and used or whatever. And this, I mean, it's not CIA or government level, but I am 100% convinced that Facebook is listening to me. And I'll tell you why and how, because at dinner the other night, my phone was on the table. Oh my girlfriend sat down with a water bottle, and it was an Evian water bottle. I said, oh, Evian. I haven't seen Evian in a while. She's like, She's like, yeah, it was in the bodega. I picked it up. I'm like, oh, cool. 2 days later, in my Instagram feed, an Evian ad.
No.
I swear to God.
Really?
I never typed the word Evian in anything. The only time Evian came up was in conversation. And Jason's nodding knowingly.
Well, I'm nodding because there was an email a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to find it from a user. I mean, total same story that you're talking about, Ron. Where it's like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. And it's real. And so, like, if Facebook can do that to target ads for me, which I'm fine with because I was like, oh, Evian, right? But
it's naive, like, spelled backwards.
You know, like, so when I laughed at 24 when Kiefer Sutherland and Chloe would, you know, use people's cell phones to see what's going on, like, that's really happening. And that's what's even freakier.
Oh my gosh, 24 is becoming true. That's what's happening.
Yes, pretty much.
So much more than 24 is becoming true. Yeah, I can't find the email right now. I wish I could find it. Because, I mean, it's the same type of story, man. I mean,
yeah, it's creepy. So is the moral of the story is Signal is like the only messaging app you should use? Like, what is that what I
use? Confide. Well, I use Confide, which I like.
The reality of the actual WikiLeaks thing is that a lot of news and journalism, you know, stories were pinned around the idea that these secure messaging services that you thought were secure aren't actually secure. And that's actually not true, not based on what you see in the WikiLeaks stuff. What WikiLeaks is talking about is more OS level. It's right. If you get in on the OS end of things, then the apps that run on top of the OS are just inherently less secure because you already have access to the OS. It's not that the app itself is insecure and suddenly we've cracked the encryption of the app.
It's that the app didn't expect to have the locks on the doors because they expected that the main gate would be locked already.
Right. And I mean, if
is that
you,
the analogy?
If you, sure, that works. Works for me. If you imagine that the OS is cracked enough, or there's enough access on the OS level, mm-hmm. that things like taking a screenshot of what you see on the display, like there's little way around that, regardless of whether the app that you're using is encrypted or not. It's still showing text on a screen, and it's still possible to capture that at an OS level. So that's kind of what it's talking about.
What do we sign up for, human race?
The probability that we all have to actually worry about the fact that the phone that we have in our pocket is bugging us all the time, or that our Samsung TV is, probably relatively minimal. But knowing that it is possible and seeing the tools is a completely different story.
They were hacking baby monitors.
They're hacking everything.
Remember,
the entire IoT infrastructure is. I mean, we've already seen it. That's what was behind the DDoS on Dyn DNS, right? Like it was mainly through unupdated IoT devices. And so, mm-hmm. like as we're bringing more and more devices connected to the internet, it's fantastic because it allows me to do stuff like turning on my lights when I'm not home or turning them off or whatever, adjusting the heat. But it's also that's going to be what's going to bring us down. So if you want to wear a tinfoil hat and be worried about the world.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know, we put up physical fences and now it's time for virtual fences. So really.
Hidden fences. So, all right. Well, if you're not freaked out enough, let's get a little ray of sunshine into the Google world.
Yay!
And talk about Google Assistant, the thing that we love.
Yay!
So big news is Google Assistant has begun its rollout to users running Nougat and Marshmallow towards the end of last week.
Yay!
In fact, do we have Sundar Pichai went to Twitter, but do we have Sundar on the line? Can we talk to Sundar here, Brian?
Oh, there you are.
There you are, Sundar. So Sundar says, Google Assistant rolling out to more Android phones starting today.
Thanks for saying that, Sundar.
And that was last Thursday, so that was a time machine of Sundar. So you can't download an app to get it yet. You need to make sure that you have version 6.13 of the Google app and that you'll need patience as they're rolling it out on the server side, as they're metering who gets it or whatever.
Which is why it's not on your 6P yet.
Yes,
possibly.
Exactly. But it's coming, so be patient.
Yes.
But what's also interesting is that Assistant is getting a new feature that allows the Assistant to read and interact with your text messages. So if WikiLeaks didn't freak you out, this will. You can ask Google Assistant to say, show me my messages, or do I have any messages, or show me my last message. So deeper integration for Google Assistant. So Kevin, as a launcher developer and as a master Android developer, do you like Assistant? Do you dislike Assistant? Are you looking for ways to integrate it into Nova? Like what's your thoughts on Assistant?
I don't personally use it that much. I like the idea. Like actually, I thought Now on Tap was like the first demo they had at, I think it was at I/O. That was really cool. And when it was actually released, it just didn't feel like it did enough. Assistant, I don't really like talking to my phone. If I'm typing stuff, I don't feel it has much advantage. So yeah, I'm not that big on Assistant. Integration wise, it's not with Cliff and Liam, we've talked about ideas that like, you know, could we ask the Assistant to like, you know, show me my apps that, you know, whatever, but it's, I don't think there's a real possibility, like a real use case for that right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of Nova users who are, I have to imagine, because they don't understand the machinations behind the scenes. They're like, well, why don't you integrate Assistant so that I can long press and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. Do you get requests for that?
In general, we get a lot of requests for like, you know, they want us to backport Assistant to, right. you know, KitKat for them or whatever. Like, so we get a lot of requests for like system level stuff that they don't understand, you know, where the launcher ends and where Google or other things begin.
Right.
So part of the,
but that's just not something like, you know, in theory we could have our own competitor to assist in, and then we could have it on all these devices, but it's just not something that we're going to pursue. Like it's too different and it requires too much resources to have to compete with Assistant. So
part of kind of like the rumor mill that's been starting to churn around here is Android O's coming, and apparently Google had told, I just dropped the link in the chat, apparently Google told VentureBeat that Android might
not
soon...
Not Venture Pete, the guy down the street.
Yeah, not Venture Pete.
Venture Pete, I've got your scoops.
It's a good comic book idea there for you. So Android will apparently soon accept this feature where you can type. So it'll do like a copy paste, but the way the copy paste works is you start typing it, meet me at, and then it would autofill the address
based on the context
context of the app that you were just looking at.
Oh, okay.
So like if you were in a Maps or a Yelp app. Oh, wow. This is the way I understand it. This is not the way it was completely explained in VentureBeat. This is just the way I understand it. But it's that the system would know that you were in a Maps app, and then it would like grab that location, and then you would type in the Google keyboard, the Gboard keyboard app, meet me at, and then it would autofill the address. And so the idea is that I'm wondering if this has anything to do with like forthcoming assistant features.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It seems that way.
It sounds annoying. Why would you talk to your phone? But at the same time, maybe this is not for talking. Maybe it's for typing. That's my thinking.
I think a big kind of function of all of this is, and Google has said this many times around, like Google Now, is presenting to you things that you need before you have to go out and get them.
Precisely.
And so this is kind of an extension of that thinking.
Easier.
Yeah, make your life easier. Real quick before we move on, found the email. And this doesn't have anything to do with Facebook. It's Jared. He said, last night I was on the couch with my HTC 10 screen off and made a comment to my girlfriend sitting next to me about Mystery Science Theater 3000. I have never performed any searches regarding the show or even spoken about it. Today, I received a Google Opinion Rewards survey that stated, are you familiar with the TV show Mystery Science Theater 3000? He said, I've disabled the option, so I don't believe my phone.
Nope.
Sorry. Dang it, I shouldn't have said that out loud. I'm reading an email, people.
You said the bad word.
I did. So I don't believe my phone should constantly be listening at all. It's creepy and is the exact reason I don't own a Google Home.
Yeah, I mean, you could turn that off, by the way, in the settings.
But
so that's
it's
not
still
listening.
It's still listening.
But yes.
It's still weird. It's still going to listen. That's the thing. And actually, I heard on the news the other day that there was indeed a murder, and they had an Amazon Echo in the house, and the investigators are trying to get a hold of Amazon to see how much the Echo heard to help with solve the, you know, like, and so like the all these devices are listening. They're all listening, and I just give up. I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, you guys, a cat and a dog is never going to be a good witness for you. An artificial intelligence device.
Right. Yeah, because it's recording everything.
It's recording. Yeah.
Extremely morbid to talk about, which is why we're going to move on to the next happy thing, which is Rick Osterloh.
Your Yay. Buddy.
I know not yet a friend of the show.
Well, that makes you happy.
Not yet.
But soon, perhaps.
Someday.
Perhaps we can convince him at Google I.O.
That should be the 2017 goal, is to get Rick Osterloh on the show.
Okay. That's our goal. Everybody, write that down. That's our goal
Hiroshi,
this year.
We got Hiroshi, it's time for Osterloh.
Yes.
We got Hiroshi.
Yeah.
We got Barry. We got Kevin Barry.
Yep,
we got Hiroshi.
True.
Now it's time for Osterloh.
And we got Evan Blass. If we can get...
That's true.
Yes. We can get Kevin, Hiroshi, and Evan.
So what's up with the new
Anyway, so Rick Osterloh last week was chatting about Pixels, Pixel phones, Pixel things, Pixel Chromebooks, whether they'd be working on that. There have been rumors that have pointed to a budget Pixel, which will be launched with the new Pixel later this year. Rick Osterloh has said that the Pixel will get a sequel for sure this year, that it will stay premium. So there's a lot of sort of rumor mongering going around the Pixel brand. Another sort of tidbit that came out was that there would be no Pixel Chromebooks going forward. But
I don't want to
apparently
that
was rescinded over the weekend. Yeah. And
he's like, well,
Mr. Osso said, no, you guys took that just a tiny bit too far. And that's not actually what I said.
You said it, Rick, but whatever.
Anyway, as we all know, the rumor mill, it is just that. Just rumors. 9to5 Google chatting about the budget Pixel that we mentioned earlier. 9to5 Google said that this budget Pixel won't be marketed as a Pixel, but as the next Android One device, which is very feasible, very possible.
I believe that. I believe it.
It would be interesting to see how it would be positioned in the United States, considering its not very successful run overseas.
Mm. Right.
But, you know, with a little carrier magic, anything is possible, apparently, right?
Anything is possible.
I would love to see a affordable phone from Google get the same push that the Pixel's getting. Yeah. That's what I would just love to see.
Because everybody's got 800.
Yeah, $800. Exactly. Not everybody can drop. Yeah, dollars, we have to pay for healthcare.
And you know, just because I don't want to pay a lot of money doesn't mean that I should only have to use the LG Stylo 2. That shouldn't be the only thing that my MVNO, you know, offers me.
Right.
Like I should have a Google branded phone.
So talking about phones, I feel like it's usually the time when we ask our guests what kind of phone they use. Yeah. So Kevin, what is your daily driver? What phone are you using?
No surprise, it's the Pixel XL.
Oh wow.
What color did you get? Excuse me.
Well, it's supposed to be really black or whatever, but I'm kind of disappointed that that's really not black. That's gray.
Does it bother you? Did you want it to all be like that beautiful pearl black on the back?
I guess I don't really care that much. I just was, if they're going to call it really black, I expected it to be black. And I was like, oh, this is gray.
Well, there's a portion of it that's really black.
Decidedly black. Relatively black.
They should call it decidedly black. I like that.
pretty black.
Yeah. None more black.
None more black. That's what it really should have been.
That's what it is. That's
we
what
should
it is.
Name the next Pixels, darn it.
Yeah. All right, Ron, take it away.
Cool. Yeah. So we're going to take a break and thank our next sponsor. We want to thank IT Pro TV for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And so listen, if you're sitting at home and you've earned an IT certification and you're on track for all the benefits that come with finally having those coveted letters on your resume, but unlike a degree, most IT certifications require at least some type of continuing education and/or recertification to remain valid. That's the case. IT Pro TV is the best way to stay up to date with current IT certifications. IT Pro TV offers over 2,000 hours of content and more than 30 hours are added weekly. You can stream courses live and on demand worldwide to your Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, or your PC. Pretty much anywhere you're watching video, and they've recently launched their Apple TV app, which is pretty cool. So they've got upcoming course topics that include Exchange 2016, Wireshark, Certified Incident Handler, Certified Encryption Specialist, Microsoft Deployment Tools, and IT Pro TV's clients include Harvard, MIT, UCSD, Stanford, and more. So you're amongst many, many smart people by using IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV will introduce new membership levels on March 8th. The new standard membership, $57 per month or $570 per year, includes access to on-demand course libraries, course transcripts, live chat, and the new Q&A forum. The new premium membership is offered for $85.70 a month or $857 a year, and that includes access to all the standard membership features as well as unlimited Transcender practice exams, premium virtual labs, and access to the enterprise portal. So IT Pro TV has got everything you need to stay on top of all the IT certifications that are out there. You can download course video and audio with annual, standard, and premium memberships. All existing members will retain their current membership level, price, and feature access. So listen, now's the time to subscribe and lock in the current premium membership pricing. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use the code AAA30. That's itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and code AAA30. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support of All About Android and for keeping us on the cutting edge of our IT certifications.
Thank you, itpro.tv. Appreciate it. Appreciate having you guys on board. All right, it is time for some apps.
What? Alrighty.
What is Anchor, Ron?
I got a little app news. Yeah, I wanted to share this with you all, with the All About Android folks. You might have seen it in the news today. There was an app about a year ago that came out called Anchor that was kind of a audio-based app. Well, today they released their second version of their app, which the Verge compared to Snapchat Stories for audio, but it's way, way more than that. And I've actually had the pleasure. I've been consulting with these guys for the past month or so. I've been doing helping them with some of their content development, and it's just a – it's an interesting take on audio. The founders of the company's mission is to kind of reinvent radio. So it's not quite podcasts, but it's not quite radio. It's a little in between. And it's got some really, really cool features, like here in the video that Brian's showing, is actually a visual like. So now when you're listening to something, this is unfortunately the iOS integration where you can knock on the phone. We don't have that yet on Android, but there's a little applause button. So as you're listening, you just tap your screen and you give applause back to the creator, which is a visual way to express that you're liking what you're listening to. So it's really neat. If you back out of the app, you can get to the back out of that channel, you can get to the main screen. And there's a you gotta log in though, unfortunately.
I was trying with my Twitter ID, but it wasn't working.
Anyway, but there's a whole bunch of stations. They've got content from entertainment, news, politics, lifestyle, all this great stuff. They've got like over 50 stations in their music. A really cool Spotify integration where you can listen to people talk about the songs, and then it goes right into the songs if you're a Spotify member, and you can hear the full songs. If you're not a Spotify member, you can hear 30 seconds. Just done a lot of work, so it's pretty cool. So I encourage everyone to check out Anchor. It went into the Google Play Store today, and yeah, like I said, it's very much up the alley of everybody watching the show. Yeah, there you go.
Now I got into it.
There's the kind of the dial. So as you swipe to the right, you can see the dial.
I love that UI mechanism.
Yeah, it's really, really the design is really kind of they've taken material design and iterated on it in a unique way that I haven't seen in any other app, and that's kind of one of the reasons.
He's listening, by the way. Sorry, Jason Howell right now is listening to a woman talk about how it's perfectly safe to drink Capri Sun.
Yeah. So, and you can give us some applause.
Yeah.
So, it's really great. And they do a great job of caching the audio. So if you're listening to it on your commute, you throw it in your pocket. If you get on the subway or go underground or whatever, the audio doesn't necessarily stop. Sometimes it does if you run out of the buffer. But they've really put a lot of thought into this next version of the app. It's really a next level. It truly is a new version. And I've had a blast. I've been producing some of the audio that's on here in some of the stations. And they've got some great stuff. So
nice.
Yeah. I am very curious to check this out because I have to say Snapchat has become sort of like my confessional, but sometimes I don't always feel like doing a video. I just want to I want to string together thoughts, let's say from a day maybe, of interesting tech announcements. Like it'd be great to just be able to quickly put together a feed like throughout the day of of my thoughts.
And then wait for the applause to come in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yes. And then I would be completely validated as a person. This app is for me.
And that's the cool thing, actually, is that, there's a bunch of stations in there that are, like, produced. Like, I'm doing iFanboy, my comic book station in there, and there's some other, like, kind of pros. But actually, Jason, if you go back to the app and hit the record button, it's anybody can start a station. So if you have anything you'd like to say, you hit that pink button there or that red button down there, and you can either start recording with your mic, but if you swipe to the right, there's a bunch of audio clips that are already in there from like news bites of the day and things like that.
Oh, so that way if you want to be like, I have a response to this person. Exactly. Who was on NPR today.
And there's also audio transitions and things like that you can have, a little sound effect that plays in between your segments. But the coolest feature.
Royalty free?
Yes, royalty free. They're all created by the Anchor staff. So they're all legal and it's all good.
Okay.
But the neatest thing is that there's actually a call-in feature where, Jason, if you back out and go to if you go to another station, go back to the main menu and just listen to something. Just listen to anything. There you go. That's my buddy Wolfman. Down in the bottom left-hand corner is call-in. And what you could do is you can call into that station and leave a message and ask a question or whatever. So if you're ever listening to a podcast and you're shouting at it and you want to respond, this is a way to respond. It's really cool. So,
very neat. Love it.
I'm going to definitely check this out because it sounds like this would be really fun for content creating, like awesome. As an extra.
Yeah. It's a neat way to interact with the audience. And so,
I have to do a 2-hour podcast, about.
But yet we do it every Tuesday.
All right. Speaking of two-hour podcasts.
Speaking of two-hour podcasts, speaking of two-hour entertainment, actually, Google Play turns 5 today.
It
turned 5 yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yesterday was its birthday.
It was just yesterday that I thought that
March
was a bad
6th,
name.
March 6th, 2012 is when Google Play, when Google Play officially switched, when it switched over from
the rebranding.
Yeah, the Android Marketplace to the Google Play Store. Well, yeah. It was Google, it was like a weird long word.
Well, wasn't it the Android Market?
I'm thinking of Google Play All Access. Anyway, very many different iterations. But that's not the story, everyone. The story is that Google says in 5 years it's seen growth to more than 1 billion users from 190 countries worldwide, of course. But we do still have one question. With that many users, are people still calling, like, do people know it's called the Google Play Store? Or is it just, am I just calling it that because I have to have everything be grammatically and properly copy edited before I turn it in?
Does everybody want to call it the Google Play Store? That was kind of my question when the Google Play Store was unveiled and, you know, they did the big marketing play or marketing switch. I just never really cared for Google Play Store. Kevin,
it's quite a mouthful.
Has it grown on you in 5 years?
I mean, relatively recently I saw like a commercial or something where they said, you know, available on, you know, the App Store and Google Play. And I was thinking that still sounds weird. I don't really like it. I like the idea of them moving away from Android Market because that's one market feels kind of like it's a free for all, like, you know, a dirty marketplace.
A bodega on the corner.
Yeah. and Android, like, then it's limiting just to the Android app section, whereas they wanted, you know, music and movies to be first class on Chrome as well. So I understand that, but I just feel Play implies it's just for fun, not for, you know, people buy business apps there. Nova is fun, but it's also a bit of a utility. Like, Play is a weird word for store.
Yeah.
Well,
my latest pet peeve about it is that people who use the old branding for their badge on their website, like, get it on the Google Play Store, and it's not the new Google font. Like, it drives me crazy. Anyway, sorry, Flo. Go on.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to share a couple of fun tidbits. So, first of all, the most installed game from the Google Play Store is Candy Crush Saga. Is anybody surprised?
In the past 5 years.
And also the most installed app, no surprise here, Facebook. Yeah. Because, you know, like, a billion people use it. But one thing that we wrote about today at Android Central was the fact that, or maybe it was yesterday, was the most popular movie was The Interview.
Oh, that's right. The Interview.
Which is like,
remember when that went down a couple of years ago? That was right around the Sony hacking time. And yeah, that was kind of a crazy scenario.
So
that movie probably got downloaded a lot more as a result of everything that went down than it ever would have had that not happened.
It was so popular. It was such a big news item. People around the world downloaded it to see what this... I never watched it either.
It didn't look very good to me.
I wasn't particularly interested.
But there we go.
But part of it also, since it didn't go to theaters, then the first big release was to the Play Store and to other online distribution.
That's true.
So it was kind of, it ended up being kind of a test case for online distribution as the big launch.
That's a very good point. I did not remember that from that time. Probably
that was why it ended up being released, because there were threats if it ended up going to the movie theater. And so
it went to Google Play.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Not the marketplace. Yeah. Google Play.
Right. So Google Play Store 5 years, Nova Launcher more than 5 years or right about 5 years?
Just a bit more. So when I released, I had like the Android Market was an option at the top of the tab bar, and then I had to rebrand it to Google Play. So I remember that being part of one of the early releases.
Oh, well, growing pains. And finally, let's see here. So we've heard time and time again that Google's plans for Hangouts was to kind of make it a little bit more enterprise focused. And this, I don't think this was an intentional launch of this service called Meet by Hangouts. But for a brief while, it appeared on the iOS App Store. It did not appear in the Android App Store. Then once the news broke that there was this thing called Meet by Hangouts, It was pulled from the iOS store. I think you can still go to meet.google.com and see the landing page for the actual service, but you can't do anything with it because it requires an app in order to do this.
Which
but basically,
doesn't exist. Yeah.
Which doesn't exist yet, hasn't been officially announced yet. But essentially what it is, it's a Hangouts for Enterprise, and this is all gleaned from app information from the iOS app store while it was live,
yeah,
for up to 30 video participants in high-def video. So this is one aspect of Hangouts. I don't think it's necessarily replacing Hangouts.
But Hangouts already has that limitation with only 30 people.
No, 10.
10?
Hangouts is 10. Yeah, so this would be, well, 20 more. For a lot of people.
Well, so. I guess we'll see how this works over Microsoft products, which have been tried and true in the industry for decades.
Hey, but Google's got to have its own, you know, play in the game also.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right. So before we move on, we asked you to send in video mail.
Yay.
And luckily enough, one of you did. And we have Dean with an interesting take on what we should do in the arena.
Hey, guys. Jason, Ron, Flo, thank you so much for continuing to put out a great podcast. It's part of my commute every week, and it brings a lot of sharing to my classroom and to my friends. Thumbs up. Quick suggestion. What if we had second time apps come through the arena, maybe once a month, second Tuesday of the month, huh? But a couple weeks ago, we had a second time app come through, and there are many apps that have been updated, retooled, modified, really, really nice things that are effective that maybe some people in Android world don't know about yet. Love to hear what you think.
Well, we've gone back and forth on this one, right?
Now, I thought about this, and I want to build on Dean's idea.
Okay.
I think what we should do is we should go back in time and see if the app still exists and if there's been an update. And totally do this, and we each choose one from the archive, and we do a flashback one. Like, I think that'd be really cool.
We'd have to coordinate this beforehand.
So yes, we would.
Yeah,
we'd have to plan.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
just how we used to do it. We used to coordinate it beforehand.
Yeah, we did. We used to do the themes and things like that. Yep. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that we run the risk of you go deep into that wiki, which, by the way, I feel like the wiki needs to be updated.
It does.
Way.
It does.
Yeah, we need somebody else to take the
perhaps Kevin can help us find a community manager.
I mean, which is really interesting because I just went into the wiki and I'm looking at like All About Android episode 77, which featured Lyft. And Runtastic, mm-hmm, right? And mm-hmm. Battery Widget Reborn, which are three apps I still use to this day, but have evolved greatly. So that would work.
Yeah.
But then I bet you there are apps like in episode 75, the Lilypad Floating Chat, which has not been updated since 2013. We probably wouldn't want to feature.
No, we'd have to have some sort of a restriction on, you know, has to have been updated sometime in the past like 6 to 8 months at least once.
Yeah,
the developer's still kind of active with it. And
yes,
everything.
Yes,
yeah. But that would be fun to take a dip in because, as you will notice, even in today's wrap up of last week's arena, repeats keep happening.
Did we have a repeat last week?
We did.
Was it me? It was me.
No, it was Tunnel Bear. But Tunnel Bear was a really long, I mean, it was Eileen era yet again. You know what I mean? Like, it was a long time ago.
I mean.
So I think what that points to is that apps do evolve over time. And just because we featured it once,
like people
when it
evolve
first happened,
over time.
Yeah, apps are people.
I wasn't the same person 5 years ago than I am now. Oops, sorry.
And neither was Nova Launcher, you know? Like Launcher. Yeah.
Nova
a
Launcher's come so far.
Versus now.
Nova was in episode 54 in 2012.
Wow.
Look at that.
I'd actually be a little depressed if Nova had never been in the Android app arena. I assumed it probably had been.
You know what? I kind of want to revisit this because I'm looking Google Reader. The Google Reader app was in, which is no longer available, as we all know. That was in All About Android number 9, 22, and 33. So we were much lax on the rules.
Wow, and that was a Google app.
Well,
that's unfair.
Well, wait a minute. That app list might not only be dedicated to arena entries. It might be apps featured on the show.
No, it's arena. It says arena. So
I doubt we would have brought Reader into the arena three separate times in the course of like
okay,
a year.
Do you not see that we are still mourning Reader? It is very possible that you brought it into the arena three times because people love that app. I am still think I still dream of it.
But it's
I dream
but it's
of Reader.
Really yes, I dream of Reader. Show title.
Show title. I think it has to be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm happy to notice also that I'm the one that brought Nova into the arena.
Good job. Did you win that week? Though?
I don't. I can't. I can't find. I have to. I mean, I was up against. Fox.
I had to have win.
I was up against Foxfy and at bat.
Yeah.
I'm interested. Lancia was there too, but Nova did win according to the wiki.
Yes. Yes to you too.
I like the episode 5 where the Kindle app was in the arena and didn't win.
Sorry. Well, you know, I'm sorry I laughed so hard.
We were still figuring things out back in episode 5.
Young.
Wow.
It was great.
We've come a long way since then. All right.
Well, what I think is really interesting is that a lot I'm looking at this like year one apps, and a lot of them are still in the store and being updated as recently as like a week ago or so. Good job. Like, I'm more interested in that with the, like, which ones are gone versus still alive. Let's figure something out. Let's
do that. I think that would be a lot of fun to do.
Stay tuned. Maybe
not once a month necessarily, but every once in a while pop in and be like, this is a retro arena where we go
because
back in time and find something.
Because I don't want us to get
into
the habit where we're like, oh, I've had a busy week.
I'm just going to do one that's been done before. All right. Before we get to the arena, though, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. That's Blue Apron, the number one ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. When you're looking for fresh ingredients delivered to your door so that you can make awesome meals, that's what Blue Apron's all about. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with fresh, high-quality ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals for less than $10 per person. Every meal that you get comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, as well as pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Not all ingredients are created equal, so it's important to know where your food comes from. And Blue Apron is very attentive to that. Blue Apron sets the highest quality standards for their community of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. So seafood sourced sustainably. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. And by shipping the exact amount that you need of each ingredient required for recipe, Blue Apron is also reducing food waste. And it just makes putting that recipe together a whole lot easier. Their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Blue Apron delivers to 99% of the continental U.S., and there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. You can go in there and customize your recipes every week based on your dietary preferences. You can choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can even just let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you and let those meals arrive at your door and discover them then. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. I actually, our Blue Apron box was delivered today. I had gone on the site and selected a shrimp etouffee. Is that how you say it? Etouffee? Whatever. With tomatoes and arborio rice, which looks really good. I also selected the creamy beef ragu and Quadali pasta. See, half the fun is figuring out how you say these words, because they're, you know, many times they're ingredients that you haven't used before.
Eli Quadali.
I don't know. That's Italian. You would know, Ron, right?
Yeah. You got it.
All right. You can also, you know, there's all sorts of different recipes: salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips, spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. All sorts of awesome menu items. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/allaboutandroid. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. All right, without further ado, it's time to jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Last week's poll, bit.ly/AAAVote307. I have not looked at it.
Okay, Mario.
So.
I was hoping you said that earlier, but.
Where are we? Okay, 106 votes. So 46.5% for Tunnel Bear VPN. See, that kind of calls to the
the idea that resurfacing old apps is not a bad idea, right? People still feel strongly about certain apps. Mm-hmm. Tunnel Bear at the top with 46.5%. Second place is Measure. That's kind of surprising to me. 27.6% of people voted for Measure, a measuring app. Third place, 17.5% for Tiny Planet FX Pro. And fourth place, 8.3% for Volume Scroll.
Third place is pretty good for a paid app, I will say.
Not bad. And coming in last for using your volume buttons, I thought that would have done better. But thanks to Wade County in the chat room, where we are in the standings after 9 weeks, Jason, you are still sitting pretty in fourth place with 19 points. Flo, you are just a little bit ahead in third place with 20 points. I'm still in second place with 28 points. And the guests have got 29 points. So
there you go. No pressure at all, Kevin.
It's a yin-yang effect of these
It's anybody's game.
Yeah.
All right, Ron, you are up. Yep, and I have it installed. I'll show it off.
All right, yeah, so this is really great if you've got Nougat, but considering that with Nougat, you can now add things to the notification pane. Shortcutter allows you to add a bunch of shortcuts to the notification pane that do a lot of cool stuff. They've got quick setting tiles that enable you to do some crazy, crazy stuff as well as some stuff that you would like to do. So just looking at the notification pane, all you got to do once you install Shortcutter is you can pull down the pane from the there you go. Yeah, that's good. Jason there in the demo is selecting an app to make a default for that. Go back to your home screen.
Okay.
All right. There you go. So if you pull down the shade and pull down even more to get your quick settings and then swipe right to edit. Where's your edit button?
Oh, yeah, edit. There we go. Pencil.
Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. It's different than mine. And if you scroll up there, you can see you can drag and add tiles that do a bunch of crazy stuff. What's great about this is that it says Shortcutter underneath them, so you know which ones are coming from Shortcutter. But you can add the auto sync, turning sync on and off, which is something I use a lot to save on battery life. You can add custom URLs, which will just launch a URL of your choice, or you can just customize a tile to do, you know, to have it load an app or do anything like that. You can it's direct one tap shortcuts to things like screen timeout, screen wake, next alarm, the volume panel, brightness. You can go directly to your available RAM, to your battery. It even has a link to the system UI tuner, which we all know about, which is buried, as well as screen record and just other crazy stuff that you could just have one tap in the notification pane to get to.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. So that's all it does. It's pretty easy.
Shortcutter.
Shortcutter, if you got Nougat, it gives you a little bit more of that customization to the notification pane that you don't previously have.
So. We'll take that auto sync.
And you just tap it and drag it. And,
move it up here and then go.
Yep.
And there it is.
That was the first one I added. So, yep.
Nice. Excellent. Shortcutter. Quick settings.
There you go.
All right. Flo, you're up.
Do you guys know the Twitter feed Re-Rate Dogs?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, they have an app.
Jeez.
It's called,
do you rate dogs on it?
No, it's called Good Dogs! ! And it is a dog running simulator.
Is it kind of like the cat one?
No. Okay. This is not like the cat one, Neko Otsume. Yeah. It was so last year.
Okay. Sorry. The year before.
Living in the past. No, it's a dog runner. It's free to play. There are in-app purchases and things of the sort, and you are going to have, I can watch a video for $5, so you're going to be like, why are you showing me something with ads? But I promise, this is really fun, so maybe you'll be intrigued. So right now, I'm running in Japan, my little dog, and I just kind of move my dog around. Ah!
That's cute. No.
Oh, nice.
Do you have to get the bones and stuff?
Yes, you have to get the bones. I'm like trying really hard to multitask. This is really hard. And it doesn't curse, so this is safe for kids to play. I can continue for 50 bones. I got 104, so we're going to go again just to kind of show you how this works. Very easy game. Eventually, you'll be able to jump over things, and it just gets more and more challenging.
I love the
as
art.
You go.
The art is cool.
Yeah, the art is good. Thoroughly bamboozled.
Thoroughly bamboozled. Yeah. That's too bad.
So the only bummer is that there is this little weird system, but I kind of like it as just a fun little game to hop into for the day. You get mystery crates. If you get bones, oh, look, an ad, which we don't want to show because the ad is not for the show. It's for... It's for the game.
Whatever. You just made some bones. You just made some bones.
And don't mind the ads. Good dogs.
Good dogs. And it is free?
It is free with in-app purchases. It does contain ads. And of course, I got this from Twitter. So thank you, Twitter.
Oh, okay. The hive mind of Twitter.
The hive mind of Twitter.
All of Twitter sent you this idea.
All of it.
Excellent. Nice. Called Good Dogs. And that is free. All right, Kevin, I have your app installed, and so I'll show it off. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so the app is AppStats, which is a app. I'll go ahead and add, just do top. Go to top paid, and you'll see Nova there. Swipe. You're in top paid. These are free apps or something. Temporarily free. Well, regardless, it's an app that lets you track the ratings and reviews of apps. So you can, as an app developer, I like it to watch my app and my competitors. When you click through on an app, you can see like their how many reviews they get per day. So that kind of gives a sense of volume. So like if you change that to 2 years or something, you'll probably see spikes whenever they release an update. So you can see that's basically when they release an update, they get all those reviews. So you can compare that to your app. On the daily rating, it'll show you like, you know, when you have a ton of reviews, each day it's not really going to change what the total is, but you do kind of want to know, are people today leaving more positive or more negative reviews? So it'll show in green if today's average, there we go. So it'll show in green the rating today, 4.9, that's above average. Then you can see it dropped some places for some of those. That's likely we released an update, doing an update now, but it's just bug fixes. It's not that exciting. It doesn't bring us up in the rank as much as bigger ones. So it's nice to track how your app is doing and how your competitor's app are doing, or just to kind of see what other apps are doing, like how users respond to them.
Dang, this is really neat.
Yeah, I know. I just downloaded it because this is going to be a really helpful app for what we do.
This is super helpful for what we do.
We want to know how apps are doing, and you know, we want to figure out who's doing well and what the stats are.
Things are moving. I have to imagine this is a great tool for developers to keep in tune with. Does Google offer any of? I'm sure Google for developers offers some insights like this based around your app. This is just another way to access it and kind of create context around your app compared to others.
Yeah, this provides the other apps, whereas Google only gets you data on your own. But this is like it's just scraping the Play Store. And so they do have issues. I think some of their proxies are in other countries. And so then sometimes it gets thrown off by that because the Play Store will show different ratings for that. But yeah, it works pretty well. It doesn't get updates that frequently, but if something's broken, they do tend to fix it. So I've really liked it. What Google shows us is a bit different. Like they show, you know, they'll give us download numbers, which is going to be better than anything this tries to estimate. But they don't give us, and they let us see the reviews and reply to them, but they don't give us like the meta statistics on them.
Nice. That is really cool. Love it. Fantastic. This is called AppStats and it's free. I don't believe there's even any real ads in here.
I think it limits how many apps you can watch, and I don't know that they monetize that, but they've thought about that.
Yeah, let's see here. Support and updates, now request support. I was seeing if there's any way to purchase to lift that limit, but cool stuff. It's called AppStats, and you can find it in the Play Store. Kind of track how apps do and how they perform compared to others. That's really neat.
We're watching you.
Nice tool. All right, mine, you're going to have to take my word for because I thought that we had TV here at Twit Studios, at the Twit Studio here. When we were in the brick house, we used to, but I guess here in the new studio, we don't have TV.
No TV.
So basically, my app is called Tunity, and it's an app that if you set kind of set the stage that they said is,
let's say you're at a bar or you're at a restaurant or whatever, and there's a TV on in the background.
Oh, a gym, but perhaps a gym that...
And the audio is muted.
Yes.
And you're like, I want to hear the audio because that's a game that I want to watch, whatever. Well, Tunity has supports a number of different channels to where what you can do is you can use the pull the app up and you... So I would tap rescan and I would fit the TV monitor that's in the room that's playing whatever I want to listen to inside here, and it will scan and then it will pull the audio from that feed into the app, and it gives you little controls that you can sync it. So if it's in sync or out of sync, you can kind of skip it forward, skip it back, and it'll lock it in so that when you're looking at that TV that you can't hear the audio on, you can just plug your headphones into here on the phone and you can listen to it here and it's all synced up. So if you want to hear the game that you're watching there, or you want to hear the news, maybe they have the news on and you want to watch that, or maybe you're at home and you don't want to wake up the family, which is what it sometimes comes in handy for.
This works with cable, satellite.
Yeah, it works with the supported channels that they have, of which they have a decent amount of supported channels. So it doesn't work with everything.
I understand.
But they're able to kind of
wait.
Sync
so if I wanted to listen, what if I just wanted to listen without a TV nearby?
No.
Oh.
No. Can't do that.
That's fair, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of required for syncing up with what
like
you're already watching.
Not pirating.
But yeah, it's called Tunity. It's kind of one of those apps that when you do it and it works, it's kind of like magic. Like, oh, like that's magic. Really cool. And it's actually been around for a long time. I was surprised to see that it wasn't in the Play Store before. Yeah, and some folks in chat are wondering if it's geo-locked. It very well could be geo-locked. I don't know because I live here and it works here. But maybe your mileage may vary. It's a cool way to kind of pull up audio on something that you're watching that you can't hear the audio on. And so there it is. It's kind of like magic. It's called Tunity. All right.
Very cool. It's very, very cool.
So I'm going to go ahead and create the bit.ly. It's bit.ly/AAAVote308. bit.ly/AAAVote308. Vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Shortcutter, Good Dogs, App Stats, or Tunity? Place your vote. And we'll check in on it next week and see where we end up.
Those are some solid apps, even the dog one.
Thank you, Ron.
Even the dog one.
Thank you. Even the dog one.
The dog one is solid.
I'm going to have a good week.
Yeah.
Kevin Barry, such an awesome time getting you on the show. We really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us tonight.
Yeah, good being here.
Yeah, awesome. We would love to have you back. Tell everyone, I don't know, parting words of wisdom. Where do you want people to kind of follow everything that you're working on if they want to find out more about your work?
I'm kind of a social media hermit, but Cliff isn't. So join the Nova beta community or the Nova screenshot community, and you can see what he posts there and what all the users post there, or follow us on Twitter, which is Nova_launcher.
Excellent. How do they get the community? It's the Google Plus community?
Yeah, actually from in-app, in Nova settings, there's a G+ button now that you can hit to find the community. Awesome. Or if you just search Nova beta community, Nova screenshot community, you'll find it.
Right on. Cool. Thank you again, Kevin. This was a lot of fun. We really appreciate it. And we'll be in touch. We'd love to have you back. Do you know if you're going to Google I.O. this year?
I am.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right.
Cool. Well, then we'll just have to run into you there as well. But thank you again. It was a lot of fun. Flo, what about you?
What am I doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm working, plugging away at androidcentral.com. That's where I'm always working and musing on Snapchat and Twitter at Oh That Flow, you know?
Oh That Flow, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
It's musing.
Excellent. Keep on musing. What about you, Ron?
I would just like to clear up some confusion in the chat room. I was 100% sincere when I said even the dog one. That was not backhanded. I like legitimately like I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna show my girlfriend that game. Like I recognize I come with some sarcasm. And
the
I apologize.
Dogs that so it was, features, by the way, are the dogs that are featured on WeRateDogs.com. So they'll take the highly rated dogs and turn them into little.
Oh, that's cool.
Virtual. I should have mentioned that.
My niece is obsessed with dogs, so I'm gonna download this and show it and let her play it when we're
much
together.
Much easier than having a real dog.
We actually dog sat this weekend.
You did?
And I think we're probably going to end up getting a dog. That's what happens when you dog sit. That's what happens when you dog sit.
No.
The kids get attached to the dog.
No.
And then now you have to get a dog.
Quiet cat leaves me alone. sometimes cuddles.
I'm
it's all I need.
To cats,
Anyway, so when I'm not emotionally supporting my dear co-host Flo, sincerely,
which is often.
Often. Love you, Flo. Love you, Jason. You can go catch me over at ifanboy.com where we're talking about comic books themselves, as well as movies and TV shows. We just Logan came out this weekend, and I believe our podcast is coming out tomorrow talking about it.
I need to see it.
Long story short, go see it. It's an amazing movie, not just a comic book movie. It's just a great movie. So go see it. Thumbs up. But and then additionally, you can check out Damn Fine Podcast, where me and Tom Merritt are talking about Twin Peaks every week. And we're rolling along until season three starts in May. And I'm very excited to announce that we just booked a very exciting guest, Mr. Brian Burnett, who's going to come on the show in April. So it's going to be a good time. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Brian, this is like my moment on my 90210 podcast, except now you're
I know.
We've got a long way to go because it's not good. I don't even know if he read the email yet, but he's not coming on the show till April. So we gotta get there first. But
you have time to study and take notes. I'll help you.
Exactly. No, I definitely I started the Laura Palmer diary a couple years ago. Never finished it. I'm going to want to do that before I come on the show. But
you're going to want to watch every single episode before you're on the show again.
Which is
easy. Wait, I have to watch the show to be on it?
Well, Brian,
I'm kidding, Ron. I'm kidding. No, I love Twin Peaks. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, so I'm glad we're going to be doing that. There's
something
else.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I listen to your guys' podcast. I really enjoy it. So, but I guess I should say what else I work on.
Yeah, what else do you work on?
Well, I do Know How, which Jason's been on a couple of times. It's a lot of fun. We do little projects and stuff. Me and Padre are covering networking at this point. So if you've ever wondered how routers, modems, switches, the internet in general ever worked, you can check that out on Thursdays. And that's about it.
Right.
Hey, your guys' episode about how to build a twit-like studio at home, I thought was amazing.
Yeah, so
I like that.
Yeah, that was really, really good. So
yeah, that was like our budget version where like
we talked about it when you initially promoted it, but I went back and checked it out, and like just the fact that now you can do that it's amazing. Yeah, I love it. So
yeah, nice. Yeah. The Blackmagic cameras we talked about, the screens box that was a Kickstarter that just came out, basically lets you do what the TriCaster can kind of do on like at $400 or $500. So
wow.
Pretty cool stuff. So yeah, definitely check out Know How.
Do it. Check it out. Great show. Great information. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Don't forget All About Android swag. If you want to get like a mug or a shirt, you can now. It's twit.tv/store. There's also a bunch of other shows on the network have stuff up there. So
and we love it when you send us a picture of you in your shirt.
Yes, we'll probably put it in the show if you do that.
And we see them and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, totally appreciate it. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us emails. Or video mail, if you put a link to your video in the email. We'll play it on the show like we did today, AAA@twit.tv. Twitter, we are at Android Show. You can find our subreddit at twitaa.reddit.com. You can find show notes and past episodes, all of our show notes, top to bottom, at twit.tv/AAA on the show pages, as well as find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, all over. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting sometime around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. Woohoo!